Hallelujah. Amen. Even when God gets us, it is an act of love on His part. Even when He corrects us, it's an act of love on His part. And it's a proof that we actually are the children of God. Amen. If you were without chastisement, you don't belong to Him. Amen. But if you are chastised when you do wrong, willfully, rebelliously, and things happen to humble you, it's God loving you and acknowledging, that's my child. Now, you know, somebody got arrested because they got upset with some kid acting up in Walmart and took it upon themselves to go and slap the child. Not only did the mother get outraged and probably went off on him and should have, but also the law didn't see that very well either. So the Lord takes care of His own and lets the world be the judgment on people who love the world instead of Him. So it all works out. Lord loves me. I know He loves me. Praise God. And He loves you. I'm glad you're here to receive this communion service today when there's so many distractions that will take us away from what's really important in our life. I used to make a Wednesday Bible study for radio for years up in Madison, and I didn't realize how much the Word meant to me personally as I was making the broadcast. Now that we don't have because we just don't have people with time to spend to come and listen in the busyness of our lives. That's why Wednesday night is kind of gone in most churches, and Sunday night is gone in a lot of churches, and Sunday morning is shortened in all churches almost because we're busy people. And it's not all because we just don't care. It's because we're tired. We're wore thin and wore out, and we got to recover from just the responsibilities of life. But we need more time together with each other and around the Word of God. I mentioned having a doubt about something, and in that doubt, I could almost hear the Lord speaking to me and saying, "Wherefore did you doubt? Why are you doubting me? You're inviting fear. You're inviting anxiety. You're inviting worry, which is driven by fear. You're inviting your peace to be interrupted, your joy to be lessened." And I thought, "You're right." And I thought, "Well, what's changed that doubt could begin to build up in me over an issue that's a real issue? It was an issue worth worrying about. I guarantee you. I don't worry about things not worth worrying about. I just worry about the things that are biggies. If this happens, Lord, what are we going to? If that happens, Lord, what will we do?" And then what happens? Then you begin to doubt. And it opens the door for fear to get a stranglehold on your peace and your joy. And I said, "Lord, I'm sorry." And I look back. I said, "Well, what happened?" "Well, I'm not making a midweek, so I'm not in the Word. Faith cometh by hearing. Amen. Hearing by the Word of God. It's not that it comes one time and it's over, it's done, don't need no more. It's a consistent thing." Amen. "Though the outward man perish, the inward man is renewed day by day." So in these last days, with so many distractions in the perilous time we're living, and Lord knows you can't get away from it. If you crank up your computer, there it is in your face. Whatever horrible thing is going on is right there in your face, and you can't hide from it. But we can hide in the Lord and find a place of peace and safety. Praise God. So forsake not, and thank you for being here today, forsake not the assembling of yourself together, as the manner of some is. This is critical in the last days, in the conditions of the last day. Forsake not the assembling of yourself together, as the manner of some is, but much more as you see the day approaching. Amen. Scripture goes on to say we're not children of the night, that they would come upon us as a thief. We're children of the day and of the light. Amen. We know that what is happening right now signifies the nearness of the coming of Jesus Christ and the day of the Lord, the tribulation period. We know that. We're children of the light, not children of the darkness. It's going to come upon them as a thief, and we're told by the Lord to beware lest your heart, this is the distractions, and some of them are responsibilities, something we don't choose, but we can't get away from. How many have responsibilities that you have to fulfill to keep your lights on, your air conditioner going, gas in your car, food on your table? God knows and understands, but He still tells us, you got to counteract all of those distractions by coming together and doing it more frequently as we see that day approaching, exhorting one another. And that means encouraging one another in right living, because the pressure to compromise is going to be greater in the last days than any other days. Amen. So we're in that kind of circumstance and situation, and thank God others are joining us today so we can be together in this. And Mike is on vacation, and others have family things evidently that overcame them. Amen. But we're glad that you are here fulfilling the scripture today. How many have obligations, responsibilities in your life that can become distractions? Amen. Amen. I do too. But the Lord is helping relieve me from them. I heard a lawnmower going. And I looked out I thought, what? Somebody's mowing my yard. And I thought, my yard wasn't like it usually gets before I decide to go mow. It wasn't knee high yet. It don't need mowing yet. No, it doesn't get that high. But you know what I'm saying. It didn't. But here's a guy mowing, edging, and blowing it off. And it's because the neighbor next door came and stood at my door. I told you a few services ago and said, when he mows my yard, he's going to mow your yard. I said, what? I can't let you do that. He said, but the Lord told me to. Okay. I don't want the Lord to get mad at me to keep you from a blessing. And his wife, she's standing back there. She can't believe it. Evidently, he doesn't do this on a regular basis, if any time. But he didn't do it because he was made to do it, but because he had a heart to do it. God put it in his heart. And she's about there, about to cry. Said, "I am so proud of my husband." And you know what your pastor did, don't you? I accepted it graciously, and I asked them both. I did this. Do y'all have an extra pair of socks? And they looked. Yeah. And I said, "Well, that's good, because God is going to bless your socks off." Give me a fist bump over here. Amen. How many believe God's going to bless them for blessing your pastor? Amen. And freeing me up from one of those other distractions among all the many things that I'm easily distracted by. But I found out that the Word of God has a place in my life to help me to counteract all those distractions, to help me to keep being renewed in the spirit of my mind. Hallelujah. My wife mentioned it on the way in. Finally, brethren, the scripture, finally, brethren, summing it up, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are holy, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, what did I leave out?
Think on these things.
Sum it right up. Think on these things. In other words, set your mind on these things to counteract what? All those other things. Amen. In their life. God is good today. For as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So our thought life is going to manifest out in the rest of our life. Well, God is good today. Amen. How many are ready to worship Him today? It'll help with our distractions to focus on Him. Hallelujah. Would you stand today with us? Or be seated. Be comfortable. Hallelujah. Communion is to help us stay focused today, to celebrate our salvation and Him who saved us, Jesus Christ, without which we could never be saved. So we're here to commemorate his death and celebrate our salvation. Amen. It gives him joy to see us serving the Lord with joy. With joy you shall draw water, the Bible said. This living water that our soul is desperate for. Spiritual drought comes in our life, but with joy, it's like the bucket and the rope that you drop into the well that is full of living water. And with joy you draw water from what? The wells of salvation. And that's why the psalmist said, you know what he said when he sinned and lost sight of God's wonderful deliverance in his life and forgiveness in his life, and he was living with the guilt and shame of his sin. He said, my bones waxed old with roaring all day long, and my moisture is turned to drought. Psalm 32. When I held my peace, when I didn't repent and get right with God so I could have the restoration of the joy of His salvation, so I could draw that water. Now, distractions will get you down, but I'll tell you what will get you down worse than any distraction. And that is unconfessed sin. God is merciful so we can be forgiven. But it takes something to get forgiveness, to apply that mercy. And that is a sincere and honest confession about our faults, our failures, and our sins. If we say we have no sin, boy, y'all are good today. Amen. We are what? Disingenuous? Just dishonest? Yeah, in a way. But the Bible doesn't cut us any slack at all. It says we lie and do not the truth. But if we confess our sin, He's faithful and just to forgive our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Isn't that a wonderful privilege that we have before the Lord? Amen. Dryness comes in the Christian life when we're not dealing honestly and openly with the Lord. And communion is an opportunity. We need to examine ourselves. We're not worthy of the blood. We're worthy through the blood. But it's a time that we need to say, I'm not going to take for granted what we're about to do. This blood was shed so I could be forgiven. And if I need forgiveness because I'm dry inside, shame and guilt will just dry you up. But with joy, you shall what? Draw water from the wells of salvation. Hallelujah. My moisture was turned to drought. But now, Psalm 51. We're following David, his repentance, and how it all changed. Create in me, here's his repentance, a clean heart, O God, and renew in me a right spirit. One of the things we're prone to do is look at each other and say, boy, you need to get right. I love it when I can call him boy. Amen. Hallelujah. Even though he's getting gray in his beard. I'd trade places with him right now and take his gray beard. Can you say amen? Just to be, how old are you?
53.
53, same as Matthew. Oh, my goodness sake. My son in the Lord. Amen. We'll let your bloodline be through. Your daddy. I'm your spiritual daddy. Yes, praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Listen. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew in me a right spirit. And take not, don't grieve or quench the Holy Spirit. Are you hearing it? Are you seeing it from the old into the new covenant? How it's tying in? Renew in me a right spirit, O God. That involves this forgiveness of others. David got humble when he realized he needed mercy. There's a guy that knew about his sin. And you know what he did? While David was king, he was traveling with his entourage. And he took dust from the earth and threw it on the king. Then he picked up rocks and began to throw it at the king. And his captain of war with him, bodyguard, if you please, He says, and he was cursing David at the same time. Now, that'll get your goat. Can you say, man? The devil knows that you got a goat, number one. You're still dealing with the flesh. Everybody's got a goat. And he knows where your goat is tied. And he knows how to get your goat. Can you say, man? And he was after David to not show mercy after God had been so merciful to him, but it backfired on the devil. It backfired on the devil. Praise God. Because David was humble enough now. If it happened before, he had been forgiven his great sin, it would have been too bad for that guy. Because his captain of war says, you know, I can go over and cut his tongue right out of his mouth and kill it if you just give the order. All you got to do is say it, and it's done. The king had absolute rule. You didn't have an appeal. You didn't go through court. You didn't have a lawyer to defend you. The king's word was final. He had that power. And he told him, let him alone. It may be that God will requite me good for his cursing. The more his enemy cursed him, the more God determined to bless him for not reacting to that. If you got a goat that got off the leash and you got into unforgiveness, I'm going to tell you where you are today spiritually. You're dry. Your moisture has turned to drought. You're going to have a hard time dealing with the last day problems and pressures of the last day because you're dry spiritually. So listen to David's prayer of repentance. First, he says in Psalm 32, and you may be seated, and we'll be serving communion after one more song. So I'm going to separate communion from the Word, but it's time for the Word right now. Because how many know this is Bible. This is reality. This is where the rubber meets the road. This is a great king that did a great sin and had a great repentance and a great restoration. And died with a legacy and a testimony until they honored Jesus by calling him Son of David. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. But he didn't get restoration without repentance. And he didn't come to repentance until he dried up. He had all the privileges and pleasures that were his by being a king. Everything was at his disposal. And yet, he was empty. His bones waxed. It's like a storm was going on inside him all day long. He couldn't enjoy anything till he got really, everybody say really right with God. Really right with God is different from just saying a little Mickey Mouse prayer, you know, kind of a prayer that you're trying to get past Pluto into the presence of God. Mickey Mouse prayer. You got to get real. You got to get honest. Because God knows our heart. And here's the wonder of it all. He loves us. In spite of all that he knows about us, he loves us. And when you recognize this in yourself, it'll help you overcome self. Paul said, in my flesh, and God used him, showed him third heaven, showed him things he couldn't even utter, used him to write 13 of the 27 books of the New Testament. Amen. And he said, in my flesh, there is no good thing. Not that we are sufficient, as of anything is of ourself, for our sufficiency is of the Lord. And what sufficiency was that? He discovered God's grace was sufficient for him. Hallelujah. Amen. And he went on to say it, didn't he? And reaffirm it. I am what I am. This paragon of spiritual power and anointing. I am what I am by the grace of God. And you, can I use some street language? I mean, it's not bad. It's just not, you know, it's not good grammar. Mike's not here to correct me, so it's okay. He looks at me in that teacher look. I love Mike. We ride him like a horse. Going to buy him a saddle. Going to buy him a saddle like we did for Crazy John. We're taking up an offering for John. Is it John?
Dave.
Yep. Is there a John in here? You're not. You're not crazy, are you? He is. It's debatable. Okay, all right. I'm not totally wrong. Crazy John. Don't put that on him, please. Leave it on Dave, right? Leave that with Dave today. Amen. Hallelujah. I don't want my moisture turning to drought. I don't want my moisture turning to drought. I don't want to dry up spiritually to where I'm overcome and overwhelmed by all the evil around me. I want to be what David became through real business with God. When I held my peace, Psalm 32, my bones waxed old with roaring all day long. The wicked, listen, when we give in to that wickedness of our flesh, listen, the wicked are like the troubled sea, a stormy sea, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. Now, when the sea is not just white caps, but when the storm is so strong on the surface that it is causing, however deep the sea, we're not talking about a lake, we're not talking about a pond or a pool, we're talking about the deep sea. The storm is so strong on the surface that it's stirring up the bottom. Now that's a storm. And he said that's the kind of storm that was going on in this righteous king who had done such an evil, wicked thing. We think of him as a giant killer. And he did to defend Israel. But there was a giant of lust in his life that conquered him and caused him to become wicked. And like the wicked of the world and the wickedness in the Philistines, David, a covenant man, an anointed man. Don't let your anointing hold you back from repentance just because you can still speak in tongues or be used in a gift of the Spirit. Amen. Amen. It's dangerous. That's dangerous. I want this so bad. Because without it, if we can't draw water to deal with that dryness spiritually, we don't have any joy to cause us to draw water from the wells of salvation. We lose the joy of our salvation. And when the joy is gone, the strength is gone. Amen. To endure, to persevere, to keep on keeping on for Christ. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Amen. To resist temptation, our strength to endure what we endure. That's the whole point of this joy being restored. So David said, when I held my peace, my bones waxed old with roaring all day long. But when he confessed his sin, it all changed. In Psalm 32, he said, don't be like the ox or the mule that has to be turned about by the bit and the bridle. The bit and the bridle. The bit and the bridle is when God lets us get into that place so that we'll recognize our need to get out of that place. If you dry it up spiritually, don't try to work it up. That's why I'm not trying to get you to, come on now, let's worship God. Come on now. Or come on now. Come on. And I'm not trying you just to get you to be emotional over Jesus suffering for you. Because it's not emotion that you need. That won't carry you. It's devotion. And when you get so devoted unto Him who did so much for you, and you realize what a rotten scoundrel, scum of the earth sinner you are, yes, without Him and without His forgiveness. Amen. And you decide, I'm not going to feed into myself anymore. I'm going to deny myself. That means to humble yourself as well. I'm going to take up my cross. That means to crucify the flesh and the lust thereof. And I'm going to follow Jesus. I'm not just going to name his name. I'm going to follow Jesus. I'm going to follow his example. That's what a true disciple is a follower of Jesus Christ. Not just someone who believed on him or got their free ticket to heaven, but someone that said, I'm going to follow him. Be ye followers of God as dear children, and walk in love even as Christ, who gave himself for us at the cross, a sweet smelling savor unto God. Amen. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. David said, blessed is the man whose sin is forgiven, Psalm 32, whose transgression is covered. When I held my peace, my bones waxed old with roaring all day long, incessantly. The wicked are like the troubled sea, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. Listen, there's no peace. No peace. No peace to the wicked. No wonder God's people are down when we get dry and we don't know what to do about it. Well, here's what we need to do about it. Don't be like the ox or the mule. Don't be stubborn. Pastor Venable, you don't know what they said about me. Pastor Venable, you don't know what they did to me. Well, why don't you start focusing on not what they did to you, but what he has done for you? And it'll shift that focus from who hurt you, who failed you, to who is so faithful to you. Whatsoever things are pure, holy, good report, lovely and praiseworthy. Yeah, leave one out.
If there be any virtue, if there be any praise.
If there be any virtue, there be any praise, something that stimulates praise. Think on and only on these things. Praise God. Hallelujah. Create in me. Then he goes from that. He says, don't be like the ox or the mule. What is the bit and bridle? It's the pressure that causes pain. The pressure that causes pain. If that horse don't want to go that way, you pull the rein on him. That has to be turned about. Turned about not just to do what you want to do, because it said, lest he turn and rend you. To keep this beast that's bigger than you from hurting you. Mm-mm, you don't do that. And that's how you have to deal ruthlessly with your own flesh. Amen. Amen. It'll hurt you if you let it and give in to it. Amen. I remember when I played football, I was the littlest guy on the line. So they came through me. And a friend of mine, he's bigger than me, but there were some big guys we played. When we played Hillsborough High School and we were Brandon High School, some of them were shaving. We were not shaving yet. And I thought, they love football so much, they probably purposely failed just so they could keep playing football. Didn't go to college, you know. So anyway, there's some big guys over there. They were young men, you know. Seniors that failed a couple of times. Now 20 years old. You know? Anyway, he come across, elbowed my friend. I mean, knocked his helmet sideways and knocked him down. And I thought, where's the umpire? Where's the ump going to call a foul? And I thought, I'll take care of this myself. I took my helmet off and I threw it down. And I went over and I said, if you want to hit somebody, hit me. And I shoved him with my skin sticking right out like a doofus. Everybody say your flesh will make you act like a doofus. But it gets serious. Because he did hit me. He hit me hard. I've seen it in comic books. You see stars? That's not just comic book. I saw them. They're real. Little flashes, like flash bulbs going off. And I thought, I'm just about to go down here. But I got to act brave. And I thought, no, I do not have to act brave. I need to back up and back off. Amen. If we couldn't get some joy out of this well, we'll dry up. Amen. Your flesh will cause you to do things that hurt yourself. Amen. It'll cause you trouble. It'll get you in trouble with God. And David knew it. And he said, don't be like an ox. Don't be stubborn. Let me tell you something about stubbornness. Rebellious. I know it says that, but here's where it'll take you. Here's how God sees it. And you there are people in church this morning, maybe here, I don't know you that well. God knows you that well. But you give me this message so there's some purpose in it. Yeah. Stubbornness is idolatry. Now, I don't believe there's anybody in here that wouldn't be convicted if all week long you've been bowing to some big fat-bellied Buddha. I'm not talking about your husband. Okay, that's Bubba, not Buddha. And she doesn't bow anyway. But listen, if you had been doing that, you'd be convicted. But people come into churches all over America with a stubborn heart. Dried up. But stubbornly refusing to humble themselves and truly get right with God. And stubbornness is as idolatry and haughtiness, which pride produces. Stubbornness is as witchcraft, and haughtiness is as idolatry. Witchcraft? Can you imagine someone that's just come out of their living room with a pentagram on the floor and black candles glowing and go to church and try to worship? There's a conflict. You can't eat at the table of demons and the table of the Lord. What we're about to do. No one, you say, well, I would never do that. Well, wait a minute. If stubbornness is as witchcraft, in other words, the spirit of pride that made an angel a devil, you're entertaining. How can it be as witchcraft if we're not entertaining that same spirit of pride? Stubbornness. Don't be like the ox. Don't be like the mule. What's that about? They're stubborn. We stubbornly resist repentance. Well, where's that going to take you? First, it's going to dry you up and dry you out. You'll have no heart for worship, no heart for God, no experience of the presence of God. But when we humble ourselves like David did, and we truly repent, we open the door for restoration, and with joy, you shall draw water from the wells of salvation. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. My moisture turned to drought. So he said, don't be like that. Blessed is the man. Blessed is the man. Happy to be envied is the man. Hallelujah. The one who gets right with God. The one who repents. The one who gets honest and real. Psalm 51 says, create in me a clean heart. How many know a heart? Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. It's going to manifest out in your life. I hope you see a man here that is seeking to be right with God consistently. It's not a one-time thing and you're sanctified for life. Paul said, I do this every single day. I sanctify myself daily. Every day I get up. That's why it's good that His mercies are new every morning. Because we need His forgiveness every day. And the Bible said part of our prayer life, the pattern, the template for prayer, amen, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Forgive us our trespasses as contingent on us forgiving those that trespass against us. getting rid of that spiritual drought inside. You know people that have it. You might have seen one in the mirror this morning. It's possible. It's possible. You can't manufacture this. You can't work it up. We've been through a drought here in Florida. The rains are starting to come consistently. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. And the grass is starting to grow again. That moisture is causing green grass, healthy shrubs. And it's the same way in the Christian life. Amen. Hallelujah. Out of your belly, you get so full that out of your belly, a river will be set in motion from an artesian well. Hallelujah. We used to sing it back when we had the victory. It's bubbling, it's bubbling, it's bubbling in my soul.
I'm singing, I'm shouting, since Jesus made me whole.
Come on, come on. Wouldn't it be great to come to church with it already bubbling?
Yes, amen.
To go out into the marketplace of the world with it bubbling. Amen. They don't need to see a bunch of religious people that are dried up. They're dried up. Amen. In a dry and thirsty land where no water is, God says, I'll do something. I'll open up streams in the desert. And pools of water in the wilderness. Yeah. Speaking of desert places, yeah. Desolate places. Guess who in this dried up world looking for every sin to satisfy? Guess who those streams are supposed to be? Guess who those rivers are supposed to be? Out of your belly, your innermost being, when you are filled up, praise God, shall flow rivers of living water. Hallelujah. But if we're dried up like they are, we have nothing to offer them but our theology, though it's correct. Our plan of salvation, though it's right. But they're not drawn to us. They're not drawn to us. Because we're as impatient as they are, impertinent as they are, stubborn as they are. Now, he cut me off in traffic. You ever been cut off in traffic? I understand road rage. Now you get killed, but anyway, I understand road rage. I pulled out from my spot. I got the right of way, and a guy pulls in front of me, and I don't honk the horn. I just put on my brakes to keep from hitting him. And he puts his hand out the window and gives me the bad finger. And I thought, you're giving me the bad finger. And you know how that feels? You ever had the bad finger given?
Yes, but I have the Jesus stickers on my car to keep myself in check, so I
can't. Now we're getting honest with God. You know something? We need a Jesus sticker on our heart. We need to put a big Jesus is the answer sticker on our heart. Amen, because I'm not going to ask you if you ever gave the bad finger. It's one thing not to react to the bad finger. It's another thing to give the bad finger. I didn't give the bad finger. Don't. I always tell the congregation, don't show me which finger it is. We all know which finger it is. We don't need illustrations here. I roared up behind him and was following him on his bumper. And I thought, what is wrong with that man? What is wrong with him? He had no sticker, by the way. you know, honk if you love Jesus. Yeah, right. No, listen, anyway, I pulled right up behind him. It's like the Lord spoke to me and said, if he stops, what are you going to do? What is your plan? Are you going to get out and confront him? You turn around and headed home? You did the right thing, sister. I'd hate to have to go bail you out of jail because you... He ran a stop sign. Well, there you go.
And
threw you the finger. Yeah, that's upsetting. We all got a goat. It's called the flesh. And Satan knows where our goat is tied. Amen. I don't have time to tell you this other tale. But God is looking for honest people that will admit, I struggle with my flesh. And I need help to get victory over it. And it comes from humbling myself before you and recognizing when I'm wrong to accept full responsibility. I love the way David put it, against thee and thee only have I sinned. I sinned against you. I make no excuse for it. I don't blame a woman that bathed and should have been more discreet. There he is gawking over some fence watching her bathe. She didn't even know he was watching. And he watched a young woman bathing. And he decided, though he could have had anybody in the kingdom, had wives. I don't know if he had concubines back then. He could have had any kind of legitimate relationship. But there's something about the Bible said stolen waters are sweet. There's something the flesh goes after when it says you can't have it. And he watched her bathe. And he sent for her to come to him, be brought to him. He had an affair with her. And she became pregnant by David the king. They were at war. And instead of David out leading his armies, he had his captains of war doing that. He's laying around the house lusting after other women. That's King David. How did he die with such a... How did he leave such a legacy that they honored Jesus? What restoration came? How did it come? I want you to know how wicked he was. He fell into that sin. Now David's got a dilemma. This woman's pregnant. It's going to come out. So her husband needs to come home and have a relationship with her so that everyone will think this is a result of their legitimate relationship. But he is fighting with David's armies defending Israel. So he tells his captains of war, I want you to find that man on the battlefield, engaged in battle. I want you to get with him and act like you're fighting with him, but take him deeper into enemy territory. And when you get him in there, he's a patriot. He loves, I'm going to tell you how much he loves God and loved his brethren on that battlefield. You're going to see David different from the Bible. Not just as a champion, but a man who failed so miserably. But you're also going to see the mercy and grace and restoration of the Lord if you get real and get right with Him. Even after all that He did, there's hope for David. There's hope for us. That was old covenant grace. We got a better covenant established on better promises. For the blood of Jesus speaks of better things than that of bulls and goats. Hallelujah. Take him into the thick of the fight and forsake him. Take him into the thick of the fight and leave him there. You don't kill him. I'm not going to kill him. But the enemy will hack him to pieces. And they did. Oh, he did come home. I'm sorry. I jumped the gun. He came home before he went back to the battle. And he sat outside his house. This is how loyal he was to his comrades, his brothers in arms. He sat outside his house and would not go in and have a relationship with his wife. And when someone asked him, why don't you go in? Why, come on in, I love you, I'm so glad you're back. You know what he said? Why should I have pleasure? Well, my comrades are dying in battle. You talk about a man that should get honor. Yeah. That man ought to get honor. Yeah, the Marines have a code. No one left behind. one Marine that was mortally wounded unless he got help. A man went out to get him, a fellow Marine went out to get him during the Vietnam conflict, and took wounds himself to save his brother in arms. There was a bond so deep and great in battle. And here's this good man fighting in the armies of the Lord, fighting for king and country and God. And he won't help David cover for his sin. He don't know nothing about that. And they take him into the thick of battle. They leave him and he's killed. Now all the guilt and shame is falling on David. And his moisture is turned to drought. If you don't get rid of the guilt today through the blood of Jesus, it'll follow you out of this room. No matter what kind of songs we play, what kind of good time we have here, it'll follow you home. And in your quiet time when it's just you, nobody but you, your moisture will be turned to drought. You'll be dry. You can listen to Christian songs, play Christian music, watch a Christian movie. But this is between you and God. And the only way to get it right is to apply the blood of Jesus through true repentance so that there can be actual restoration. That's what David was crying out for. Create in me, start with my heart, a clean heart, O Lord. Amen. If our heart condemns us, the New Testament says, God is greater than our heart, and He knows everything. But if our heart condemns us not, we have confidence in God. Hallelujah. God wants our heart so clean that we have confidence in Him. That the devil can't point his finger. And it's not the middle finger. It's the index finger of condemnation. He can't point his finger at us and say, you can't expect a prayer to be answered. There's no point in you praying. God can't use you. You no good. You have failed. There's no hope for you. So forget about it. You and God are kaput. He's a liar. Because he knows. If you confess your sin from your heart and you pray for a cleansing in your heart, hallelujah, for the blood of Jesus cleanses us. It doesn't just forgive us, it cleanses us. Glory to God from all iniquity. Hallelujah. Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Hallelujah. What can wash away my sin? Woo! Come on, shout it out. What can wash away my sin? There is a fountain filled with blood. Drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners like us plunge beneath the blood. Lose how much? All their guilty stains. Hallelujah. When it's all gone. What a feeling. No wonder David learned how to dance before the Lord and celebrate salvation. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and take not thy, and renew a right spirit in me. And see, now the Spirit of God is not grieved nor quenched. Amen. Amen. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me and restore unto me the joy of your salvation. Something is going to happen in the King, and it's going to reverberate through His kingdom. Can you say, we used to sing it at church. How many remember? He lifted me from the miry clay. That place I couldn't extract myself from. Miry clay. I don't care if you've got a four-wheel drive heart. Amen. And a monster truck. There's clay deep enough and miry enough that those wheels will spin, all four of them. But you're not going to go anywhere until somebody pulls you out. Amen. I worked for Tampa Electric. We went out to replace a pole in a swamp literally, it rained so much it was a swamp. My foreman put on hip boots, and he walked out in the middle, and it was mud, and I had this big line truck that weighted down that I set poles and hung transformers with. He got out there, and he said, "Now, here's what I want you to do, Robert. I want you to put it in the lowest gear. We called it Granny Low because the lowest gear we got on that truck." And he said, "I want you to put the accelerator to the metal, and don't you stop. Just keep coming, because if you stop, that's it, you'll sink." I can do that. I put it in the lowest gear, and I can put the pedal to the metal. I can put the pedal to the metal. Amen. So I put the pedal to the metal, and he's saying, "Come on, come on." And that truck is doing everything it can. And I didn't take my foot off the accelerator, but I started getting lower and lower and lower and lower, until finally it come to a stop. He called for a wrecker from Tampa, and they came and got on the other side where there was some good ground. And they had this long, the guy, he got wet. He had to pull this winch cable all the way out to that truck, hook it on. And it was so nice that my foreman, I did everything he told me to do, but it still sunk. I needed help to get out of that mud. And that, when that winch began to groan and that old truck began to shake, and slowly but surely, he pulled me out to the good ground. I'm going to tell you what God wants to do right here for somebody in this room and somebody online. You need this help from the Lord today. And He's ready to come where you are and help get you and me out of that dry place. Amen. If He could do, let me finish it with this. Listen, if He could do that for David under the old covenant, I said, if He could do that for King David under the old covenant, can I tell you what He did for David? Did David deserve any of that after what he did? He was a murderer. Do you understand? Today he would be tried and convicted of first degree murder. Oh, it wasn't by his hand, but he had it done. He authorized it. Amen. He participated in it. He'd be given life without parole. The judgment of man and the justice of man would have been correct. But the mercy of God was due every morning. And David said, if I can appeal to His mercy, I know there's restoration. True repentance will apply that mercy. And God is a God of restoration. That's why He said, the Lord my shepherd, He restores my soul. Can you say, man, my cup? He was so dry, but he said, something has changed. My cup is running over. Amen. Hallelujah. Mercy and goodness are going to follow me all the rest of my life, and I'm going to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. That kind of forgiveness was available with the blood of bulls and goats. Amen. And the blood of Jesus that we're about to commemorate. Yeah. Hallelujah. Yeah. Amen. Speaks of better things. Speaks of better things than the blood of bulls and goats. Hallelujah. Amen. Sins are not only forgiven, they're forgotten. Oh, this is why the evangelist's heart in me comes out. Because the church needs a revival. We need to be challenged to get truly right with God. Hallelujah. So He can do this wonderful work of grace and mercy in our life. He longs to do it. Hallelujah. Jesus died so God could do that for you and for me. There are things before I came to Jesus, before I even met Pamela, that I would be so ashamed. I would want to run somewhere and hide my face if those things came out right here today. You say, "Brother Venable, you've been a godly man." I prayed for my daddy when I was 12 years old, when he was going through a nervous breakdown. I knew the Lord enough to intercede for my dad. I had come to know the Lord at 12. Bitter divorce got me bitter. And that root of bitterness sprung up into rebellion in me. And I did things, said things I would be so ashamed of. And that's why when I did come to Christ with a mature understanding of grace and mercy, that's why I reciprocated with devotion to Him. I have had times I have needed to repent of attitude and activity. No, there's no no-tell motel, no skeleton in the closet, but there are personal things that I've had to go before God and deal with in my personal life. And thank God I could go to Him. Amen. And when I receive communion, say, this is His body broken for me. This is His blood that was shed so I could be forgiven. I'm not going to let that broken body and that shed blood be broken and shed in vain. I'm going to get right with God. I'm going to get real first, because you can't get right till you get real. I am the sinner. I missed it. I messed up. I'm sorry. Lord, forgive me. Forgive me. Forgive me. And He grants it. And when He forgives, Psalm 103 says that He not only forgives, He forgets. He casts our sins away from us as far as the east is from the west. When David got it back, restored and renewed that covenant with God that God made with Abraham, here's what he said: what shall I render to God for all of His benefits unto me? What can I give God back for what He's done for me? He that's forgiven much, Christ said, loves much. Hallelujah. Devotion was coming out of recognizing how awful we are without His grace and mercy, and how good He is to grant the grace and mercy that we do not deserve. Hallelujah. And what eats you up is thinking, well, I'm better than this one. I'm better than that one. I'm not as good as I ought to be, but I'm better than her. That's not it. It's between us and God. Not us and them. It's us and Him. If we get right with Him, we don't worry about them and what they think of us. Yeah. Brother Venable, you know, someone said you were... one time they called me Jim Jones. And I thought, I don't even wear sunglasses. Let alone the rest of that filthy stuff. I don't want to try to run your life. Lord have mercy, I have trouble running my life. Amen. But I do want you to listen to the Lord and let Him run your life. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Are you seeing it? Create in me a clean heart. Renew in me a right spirit. Yeah. He said, and then restore unto me the joy of your salvation. Then sinners, transgressors, will learn your ways. Yeah. And sinners will be converted unto you. People will come to know God in true repentance when they see the restoration of the King. His humble repentance and restoration. It's going to affect them. And then he writes the great psalm. He lifted me from the miry clay. He put my feet on the rock to stay. Here's the joy of salvation. He put a song in my heart today. A song of praise. The humble will hear about it. And they will be glad. Amen. This word humble is not the virtuous humble. This is the people, the word humble, like it's used in Lamentations. My soul was humbled in me. It meant crushed by the pressure, the heartache and the heartbreak of life. People crushed by that are going to hear what God can do when we look to Him in true repentance and receive restoration. And they're going to be so glad to hear there's hope for me. Amen. Somebody's going to get the cable. If he has to come down to this earth, weighed out in the sludge of our sin, to hook a cable to us and pull us out of that mess, he will come and do it. He has come and did it. Amen. All we have to do is trust him for it. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. I don't want my moisture turned to drought. I want an artesian well in my soul rise, springing up, bubbling up to everlasting life. Praise God. If we don't apply the supply of grace and mercy through the suffering and sacrifice of Jesus, then He has died in vain. Every sinner that goes to hell that heard the gospel, He died in vain because they did not receive what He died to give them and grant them. Thank God for Jesus. Thank God for our opportunity to be real and to be right with Him. Hallelujah. What kind of love is this? What kind of grace is this? Can you say, man? You see David's dilemma, how far he had sunk in the miry clay, and how God pulled him out. Couldn't get himself out. There are positive thinking preachers out there who teach you how to think positive. Amen. I'm just going to think positive thoughts all day long. Well, I'm positive that I have sinned. I am positive that I am unworthy. I am positive that I have failed God. But I am positive that Jesus died for me. And I am positive that if I will humble myself and confess my sin, I am positive it will be forgiven. And I am positive it will be forgotten. And I am positive that the blood of Jesus was shed for this moment in my life. Hallelujah, so that I could draw water. Hallelujah, for my thirsty soul. I could draw water from the wells of salvation. Praise God. Hallelujah. That's what He wants to accomplish today. Boy, if I had that in outline form, I could copyright it. And some poor preacher last night that was praying, we're going to have communion again. I've done told them about the blood, and I've told them about the guilt, and examine yourself. La, 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 la. I don't know what I'm going to preach on. I could sell him that, and then they'd fire him the next Sunday for bringing everybody in the building under conviction. You're a wonderful audience today. Receive and respond to conviction. Why? It's God saying, come. Come, just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to me, O Lamb of God. I come. Hallelujah. Amen. Come unto me. The plea of Christ, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. You know the guilt of sin, heavy laden. All you that labor and are heavy laden, come to me. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I'm meek and lowly of spirit, and you will find something your soul is desperate for. Rest for your soul. He will speak to the storm. Hallelujah in your heart. Peace. Be still. Hallelujah. If God be for you, who can be against you? So don't be against yourself. If He's forgiven you, don't hold on to guilt. Have your heart sprinkled. That means the clean heart from an evil conscience. Amen. Have it sprinkled with the blood of Jesus from an evil conscience. Why? Because God doesn't want you dried up. He wants you filled with living water. To begin in your spirit and flow out to everybody you meet. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. If you don't want a sermon, don't ask me a question. It's bubbling and it bubbles over. Hallelujah. At one point, Moses not only took the sacrifice, had them sprinkle the mercy seat, but at one point, I thought about having everybody wear something white on a Sunday. And that invisible ink stuff that it goes on, but it goes away, it disappears. It's visible, but it disappears. I would love to have a bottle of that. I don't know if they make it anymore. Probably stain somebody's nice something. But you know what I'd love to do? I'd love to come everybody and do what he did, to make it personal, to not have it just a religious thing that the priest did in their behalf, but to make it personal to them and their sin and their forgiveness. He took the blood that was going to be sprinkled also on the mercy seat behind the veil. And he sprinkled it on the people gathered. They were standing. They had brought in a sacrifice lamb. It's going to be killed in the temple. But he wanted to know this lamb is not just a religious act behind the curtain that's occurring for your forgiveness. This is something that God wants you to understand is personal to you in your behalf. And when they saw that blood sprinkled on their robe, they took it to heart. The innocent suffering for the guilty. The innocent lamb is paying my sin debt that I owe. And a devotion is supposed to be reciprocated because of that. If that doesn't bring devotion, what could we offer people to get them to honor and reverence God? The innocent one is suffering for me so that I could be forgiven. So forgiveness is free, freely given, but it comes at a great cost. Can you say amen? It cost Christ everything to forgive us our sin. And all it will cost us to be forgiven is our foolish pride, our stubbornness, our selfishness. Amen. It's what's holding back revival. It's not the sinfulness of the world. Where sin doth abound, boy, we got a reason for grace to claim today. Where sin doth abound, how about America right now? My grace does much more. In the Greek, it's hyper. It's not just much more. It's way beyond much. Hyper abound. Super abounds. In other words, God's willingness to forgive and restore is on open display right now. His mercy is new every morning. And the reason judgment is going to be so severe during the tribulation. How shall we escape this coming judgment if we neglect such a great salvation as this? There are people, you know people that go to church occasionally, but they don't want to really get right with God because there's some pet sin, some habit, something that they're holding on to that they don't want to turn loose of. Once you turn loose of it, you can't use it as an excuse anymore. Amen. I'm not worthy. So I have no responsibility to God to use me for anything because I'm unworthy. I'm off the hook. No, you're not. Let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. You name his name. Automatically, if you say you're a Christian, there are certain expectations that God has of you, and it's not perfection, but it's realism and authenticity. And there's things the world expects of you, and it's not perfection, but they expect you to be real because there's so much phony baloney out there. I want to be a representation of a man truly forgiven. Amen. Whose sins have been washed away.
Hallelujah.
And whose God has forgiven him.
Yes.
To such a degree that I can call the God who I've sinned against Abba Father.
Amen.
And have the Holy Spirit say that's absolutely true of how he receives you now.
Amen.
That you've come to Christ and been washed in the blood of the Lamb. How powerful it is. Hallelujah. Well, is anybody here feel like God is speaking to you at all today about anything? Will you receive it as his love?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Do you understand your pastor? I eat this first. I just want to share it with you today. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. One of these days, if we can get our old VHS cranked up and I can find the tape and the roaches haven't got in it. Not in our house. I'm not saying we're roach free. We see one occasionally. But we got a doggy that tufts of his hair comes off. It's double that the fan comes on, the air conditioner comes on, a little piece of hair, black hair goes, tuft hair thing goes across, and I've killed at least a dozen of those this week. They're not roaches, they're tufts of hair. But God is good. God is good. And the joy of the Lord is our strength today. God has spoken to you today as we receive communion. And Brother Sean is going to serve us today. How many will be honest before the Lord and say, Pastor Venable, I've gone through dry times, and you may be going through a dry time, but you don't have to confess that, but just say, I've been through dry times. I never want to stay in that desert place. God has been too good. Jesus has done too much for me. Can I see your hand? I don't want to ever live in that dry, desolate land. I want to find and discover the streams in the desert and the pools in the wilderness. Glory be to God. Come and dine. Come and drink. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.